I'm cracking myself up because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, wow, could you ever get sick of listening to that? And then I realized I'm talking to the only man in the world who probably could actually get sick of listening to it.
Hasn't happened yet.
That's good. That's excellent. I'm glad to hear. Keith Lockhart is our guest, and we couldn't be more delighted. The annual Boston Pops holiday season at Symphony Hall in Boston is one of the greatest Christmas time traditions in all of New England. In a normal year, the Pops would perform 40 or so performances at Symphony Hall to sold-out crowds. Like many arts organizations during the pandemic, the BSO has created new ways to experience the music. BSO Now presents newly recorded hour-long video performances by the Boston Symphony, Boston Pops, and BSO musicians in chamber music settings, along with behind-the-scenes storytelling with conductors, composers, and musicians, plus much more. Keith Lockhart has been the conductor of the Boston Pops since 1995. He joins us now to tell us about the Pops 2020 holiday celebration. Happy holidays to you, sir. Always a pleasure to speak with you. How is everything going?
Well, you know, it's been a tough year, but I'm sure I'm not the first person who's told you that. But the performing arts, you know, being that the core of what we do is live performances for crowds, it was one of the first industries to shut down completely. I haven't conducted on a podium in front of an audience since March 12th now. And, you know, there's a big hole in all of our lives, not just economically, that has an impact, of course, but also just because that's what we do. We perform for people, and then being denied that has been the toughest part for us of the pandemic.
What is it like? I mean, you've been doing this since you were a kid. I mean, what is it like not to have that outlet, not to be on that podium for such an extended period of time? And quite frankly, like most of us, not knowing when whatever normal is going to come.
Well, it's kind of a crisis of self. I mean, because you're really defined by that. And you're right. I've been doing this now for, in total, about 40 years. And it's even longer than that, since it's been that long for a public performance for me. But, you know, all of us in the arts are committed to seeing this through and making sure we have something to present on the other side of it when we come back to whatever the next normal is. And the Holiday Pops concert this year, of course, is a prime example of that.
So we'll talk about that. What do your days look like now? As far as when all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sure for the first couple of days you were like most of us were like, oh, okay, well, this will all work out. We'll be back to normal in a little bit. Right now it's kind of like a snow day, and then it's not.
Yeah, I think we all said, well, this will be a 2 week or 2 month long inconvenience, and then things will go back to normal. And at the BSO, we did a slowly cascading roll of cancellations. We started off by canceling the rest of the BSO season when it happened in March, assuming that we would put the Pops on in May. That didn't happen. Then July 4th didn't happen. Then Tanglewood didn't happen, which of course directly affects your listenership.
Right.
And then the fall season of the BSO didn't happen. And so what we started, what my days look like, well, there's a lot more parenting than there has been in the past. I also haven't gone anywhere. I haven't flown anywhere since I came home from my canceled engagement on March 14th. And, you know, so I'm normally gone quite a bit in Europe and in Asia as well, guest conducting. And that hasn't happened. I've done a lot more handyman projects than I've ever accomplished in the last 15, 20 years. And I've been spending time with my kids, which is one of the only wonderful silver linings of this, is to get to know them better, and a whole lot of parental taxi service.
So let us talk about the Holiday Pops concert. And this is now available. It'll be available for folks through the 9th of January. So whenever you need that that hit of holiday cheer, you can go online and find it. What goes into it as far as your participation of saying, okay, this would make an entertaining program for people?
Well, that's, of course, what else we've been doing is we've been spitballing how to react to this and how to stay in touch with our constituency and, you know, and how to keep the music playing, basically. In the fall, we were still hopeful that we would be able to do live, even smaller audience concerts at Symphony Hall. But when that proved not to be true, we started thinking about how we could do an online presence that was in any way reflective of what people take away from Holiday Pops. I mean, 85,000 people come to Symphony Hall in the month of December in about a 3.5 week period. And so many of them, it's kind of the center, the core of their holiday tradition with their families. So we started trying to figure out how to do a concert that was reflective of that, that both, of course, made people long for the days being together in Symphony Hall, but also gave them the comfort and joy that music is so good at giving at this time when we desperately need it. The first events that we did for this were actually born out of practicality. The Red Sox asked if we'd like to record some people in Fenway Park, because at that point we weren't sure we were going to be green-lighted to even perform in Symphony Hall. We brought the brass and percussion on two gorgeous October days to Fenway Park and did about a half hour of material, part of which was to roll into our annual free concerts for the hospital kids and Children's Hospital and other places. Yeah. And part of it, we started realizing that not only were we having the chance to record, we were playing in an iconic venue, you know, this place that screams Boston to the majority of our audience. And so we did some great shots. We had the brass standing on the top of the Green Monster, playing a big fanfaric version of Good King Wenceslas. We had some fun with Wally, the Red Sox mascot. And then we were green-lighted, and we started performing about the end of October in Symphony Hall, doing not to any audience, just tape. And we spent a week, second week of November, shooting things for this show. And I have to say, it was so fun to perform with the orchestra. Everybody was so enthusiastic. Everybody was so happy to be making music. And the results were just stunning, and it created a show that I'm very, very proud of. The only reason that this show won't stand the test of time forever is that half of us are wearing masks.
Is there a plus? I mean, we talk about the pluses, and obviously one is you get to spend more time with your family, but is there a plus in the performance of even without an audience that obviously your job is to perform in front of an audience, and that's what we all love to do. But barring that, and given that this is now a an audience that will be watching via some sort of streaming, is there a plus, or maybe things that you notice that you didn't before when you are performing?
Well, I think one of the personal pluses is, I mean, even though I love my job and it's what I would do even if I didn't have to have a job, it's everybody, you know, gets tired of it every now and then, the routine, the rat race, and says, oh, no, I've got to do another concert. And I will never say that again. I have developed such a deep appreciation of the privilege I had all the rest of the time. There's nothing like having it taken away to make you think about that. In terms of the industry, I mean, for this concert, for instance, a lot more people can see it than saw it in Symphony Hall, and it gives us a real national reach on the concert. In the past, we've done live tours as far away as the West Coast and even up as far as Vancouver. We're obviously not doing that. But this way, all those people who are pop fans who are outside of the greater Boston area can experience the concert. And I think the other thing for us is that it has taught us a lot about production, about media production, about how to get our message out onto the internet. And these are things that, of course, we've made baby steps at before, but all of a sudden we had to pivot rather quickly to that being the primary venue for our product. And I think those lessons will be very useful even when we go back to live concert production, because they're another way to reach the audience and they're a way to bring the audience to Symphony Hall.
In my little Joe brain, this question sounds like a good one, but I'm afraid that when I actually articulate it, it's going to be stupid. But let me give it a shot.
Well, let's see, shall we?
you can be the judge of this, Keith. It'll be fun. Is there something about that there is a difference between when you and the musicians are alone in Symphony Hall, that it is that you are playing less or more than performing?
That is an interesting question. The jury's still out on the question itself. But it is always different. But we have these experiences. I mean, up till a few years ago, when we always did our recordings in a quasi studio thing, as opposed to in live concert, which we do now. We were used to going in and just playing for ourselves, for the orchestra, for the excellence of the music, and not having that immediate audience connection. And there is a feeling, I think, that we have to fight against of artificiality in that situation. It does feel different, because at the end of the day, the job of music is to connect you, is to give all these people you've brought together a shared emotional experience, which radiates up to the stage. That having been said, I think that in this particular case, I think if we had to go virtual for the rest of our lives, something very deep would be lost. Yeah. But in this particular case, we were just so thrilled to be playing. I mean, it's not just me, all of my colleagues, all these incredible musicians, they have spent their life learning how to play in large ensembles with a great deal of virtuosity and professionalism, and to have the chance to do it again was like flying. So I think that particular enthusiasm made up for the lack of an audience, but there is no doubt we miss them and can't wait to see them again.
So let me add this nuance in a effort to save the question, which is when you perform something like let's take Sleigh Ride as an example, do you hear it at any point? Do you hear it differently? Do you notice something that you hadn't noticed before? Are there things, a deeper understanding that you get that perhaps you wouldn't when you were also worrying about the however many thousands of people who are behind you?
I think it's the job of a performer to be able, to be in direct contact with the music and not to let that relationship or even how it's affecting the audience affect, your understanding of, serving the composer's intentions. And, I suppose that's true for an adorable little piece we've all played thousands of times, like Sleigh Ride. But it's also true for a Mahler symphony. I mean, the communion is between you and the music, which then reflects to the audience. So I don't think there are particular insights, but I will say that, it is kind of, it's nice to be able to focus on just making the best possible performance product you can. But it's also strange. I mean, I did a little rough back of the napkin math, and I've been doing this for, this would have been my 26th holiday season, and averaged 40. I've done as many as 50 or 52, but probably averaged about 40 concerts a year. So that's, we're getting on like 1,000 concerts in the month of December alone. And to all of a sudden have all these evenings off feels well, wrong. That's how it feels.
Yeah. You were talking about the composer's intentions a moment ago. In the case of Sleigh Ride, it was Leroy Anderson who wrote it, and then it goes to Arthur Fiedler in the Boston Pops. So not only is this a wonderful, wonderful traditional piece for all of us, but especially for the history of the Boston Pops.
It is. It was, of course, Fiedler discovered Leroy Anderson when he was a assistant band director at Harvard, had him do some arrangements, liked what he heard. And Leroy Anderson, of course, went on to be the American master of the light touch in classical music. And Sleigh Ride was written for the Boston Pops. Anderson started in 47, according to his own description, in the middle of a heat wave in July. Probably trying to think cooling thoughts in those pre-air conditioning days. It was premiered by the Pops in 48. We recorded it in 49, and it's our piece, but it is spread across the world. Of course, it's been covered constantly. There was a survey a couple of years ago of radio stations saying that it was, I believe, the most played worldwide single holiday tune. So we have a little pride of ownership with that, even though we don't make any residuals from all those other thousands and thousands of performances.
When did you first record it?
It's been on every album I've done, every Christmas album. It would be inappropriate on some of them. and I have done three albums with the Boston Pops, three Christmas albums, one in 1996. One in 2004 and one just about 6 or 7 years ago live in Symphony Hall.
Well,
if you need your fix, you can get it. The 2020 Holiday Pops as part of the Boston Symphony Orchestra Now, BSO Now, presenting this performance. It goes until January 9th, and Keith Lockhart leads the Boston Pops Orchestra in holiday classics, both old and new, and will help inspire hope and create holiday memories, as it always does, and great cheer. Keith Lockhart, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you well in these trying times. We think of all of you and your colleagues, and we look forward to whatever normal will bring us.
Thanks to you as well. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and join us at BSO.org now to check out what I think is a really great show.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information about the 2020 Holiday Pops concert online by going to BSO.org. The BSO Now programs are there, BSO.org, but it's BSO Now is what you're looking for on the website. It's there through January 9th. Our thanks to Keith Lockhart and to the BSO. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.